Amen. We got to keep it together. Amen. And it's a lot of stuff that can get you off, make you fly off the handle, but you can only control you. You can only control your situation. Amen. Because sometimes we try to control other folks and it just don't work. Amen. Amen. So I'm learning, and I've learned to keep Eddie under control. Amen. Because there's some folks that have made me pretty mad, pretty angry, and everything. But God has helped me. Amen. Because I realize that you can't act like other folk act. Amen. God bless you to all three of y'all. Amen. That clap for me. Praise the Lord. But please pray for Sister Linda. Tonight is tonight where we cross over, and we're crossing over into a brand new year. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I'm sorry. I don't believe that, because I believe you can make a change anytime, anywhere, whenever you make your mind up. You can make. I don't have to wait till January 1st, 2018. You can, change can start with a decision. Somebody say a decision. You can do better. You can do better, because it's your choice. You know, you got to make your mind up, I'm going to be better. Amen? And one of the things that I strive for when I was a young person, I would strive to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long just to be like him, all through life journeying from earth to glory. My hope, my aim is to be like him. Now, I know y'all waiting for me to preach, but I'm already started. God bless you. Amen. But that's what I want to do. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. And that's what we got to get back to, being like our Savior. Is that all right? Amen. While you're turning with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we are endeavoring to enter into this new year, make it a year of Jubilee. Everybody say a year of Jubilee. And while I'm preaching to you, this is just something that came into my spirit. I was reluctant, but I feel it, and I'm just going to go with it. Amen. I want at least 20 people to sow a Jubilee seed today. And the reason why I want you to sow it, because you're going into this new year, and there are some things that you want God to do for you and your family. And if you don't know what Jubilee is, somebody shout it out. Okay, 50 is Jubilee. I want you to take a Jubilee offering. I know that we've been through the holiday season, but I don't believe that God, David said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me nothing. It costs to be blessed. It costs for God to do. Now somebody said, what's the correlation? Paul told us, he said, you've reaped our spiritual things. What is it that we reap your carnal things? So in that interchange, everybody say interchange, there are some spiritual blessings. So when you offer what you have, which can only be natural, because you can't offer nothing other than what you have, you offer to him, then he gives you something back. Somebody say spiritual. So what I want you to do is, everybody say, name your seed. I don't want you to just give $50 just to be given it. I want you to name what you want to go in this new year looking for, and you want God to do. Somebody said, name your seed. So I'm going to do it. Are you going to do it? God bless you. All right. And so we want things that we want done. Yesterday we were in our meeting, and we're talking about the vision of this church. We're in the works of transitioning out of this building into a new building, but it's going to take a little time for us to get all our ducks in a row for what we're trying to do, but that's still on the table. We ain't forgot, just because we hadn't been talking about it. we're one day y'all going to look up in reality and we're going to be in the new building and then we all going to be shouting. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And I need all of you to help me. We can't do it by ourselves. We need you. Amen. So that Jubilee seed, and notice what they did in the Bible. The Bible said they did a heave offering. They put it up before the Lord in a symbolic way for him to say it. Now, God see it in your purse, in your pocket. He sees it in your bank. He sees it at your job. He sees it. But he wants you to heave it up. Everybody say, heave it up. So when we get ready at some point in this service to heave it up, I want you to name your seed. Somebody say, name your seed. Why do you want it to be named? Because by naming it, it will come forth. When Jesus went to Lazarus' grave and they opened the tomb, what did Jesus say? If you want something to happen, you got to speak it into the atmosphere and tell it to come forth. All right? I've done that enough time to know that it's not a game, not a gimmick. It's a blessing. Somebody say, it's a blessing. Amen. And I have too many scriptures to show you that it's not something that we just do. The Bible, the Lord tells us, don't come before him empty. Amen. Thank you, Mother. Mother know her Bible. Go ahead, Mother. Mother, you're looking mighty nice here with your pearls and your blue and your braid. Look at God. Mother, are you profiling or something? Go ahead, Mother. Mother said, they say, Papa got a new brand new, but Mother got a brand new man. Praise God. Amen. There is hope for me at 70. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For the devil speaketh concerning him. David speaketh concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Somebody said, rest in hope. Amen. Verse number 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And let me see here. My scripture decided to leave me. And yes, ma'am. Brother, he said, countenance, my verse decided it want to. Yeah, it's not. All right. Thank you. Men and, let me see. Where was I? 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse number 25 is what I want you to look at. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. The apostle here is quoting from Psalms 16 and verse number 8. Somebody say 16 and verse number 8. And in Psalms 16 and verse number 8, it reads thusly, I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My message today is having God before your face. Having God before your face. Amen. We live in a world that has lost consciousness. They've lost their bearings. They've lost their moral compass. We're living in a world where the Bible says they sin and don't even blush. Live in a world where the church cannot even be identified anymore because the church look, dress, act like the world. And there is no difference. When we go to the Old Testament, it said there must be a difference between the holy and the unholy, the profane and the unprofane. If we are to be the people of God, we have to put a difference between us and them and them and us. And the only way that you can do that is that you have to set the Lord always before your face. Amen. Just the way you set in front of your television, just the way you set in front of your video game system, just the way you set and look at yourself in the mirror, say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. You need to set God always before your face. And so if you want to know what am I talking about, I'm talking about having a God consciousness. There should be a consciousness about God when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you're laying in your bed. You ought to be conscious of God all the time. And he is ever present. And the scripture said, he trieth my heart every moment. So God is looking at my heart and trying it every moment. One scripture says that every way of man is good and is right in his own sight, but God pondereth the heart, meaning that he is looking at what you're thinking. He's looking at your motives. He's looking at your intentions, and he knows whether you're real or whether you're not real. Because in your own eyes, you're pure. In your own eyes, you're right. The Bible said there's a way that seemed right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Amen. And Bible said they did that which was right in their own eyes. It's easy to believe in you. It's easy to believe that you're right and everybody else is wrong. But when you put God in the equation, and you put him before your face, not only is he going to show you others, he's going to show you. And he's going to show you who you are. Isaiah 6, the Bible says, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When Isaiah saw God, he saw himself. No, there's no way that you can look in the face of God and not see yourself. There's no way that you can look in this Bible and not see yourself. The Bible called it the perfect law of liberty. It calls it, it compares the word to a mirror. That when you look in this mirror, you ought to see your faults. You ought to see your problems. You ought to see your down settings. But unfortunately, some people, just as they look in a mirror and then they turn away, they forget what type of man or woman they are because they no longer are looking in the mirror. This is why you need to read the word and meditate on it day and night. Let it be a lamp to your feet and a light to your pathway so you can keep God before you and you can keep yourself in check. God said if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. It's very possible for you not to be judged if you judge yourself. Don't judge yourself based on how good you think you are, but judge righteous judgment by seeing if you line up with the word of God. And the word of God is right. And the word of God converts the soul. And it's a good thing to keep God before you, because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom you have to do. And the Bible said his eyes run it to and fro throughout all the earth. Listen, we are under surveillance. God is watching all of us. Just as our country have satellites that do surveillance, and that's why they busted China selling oil to North Korea, because we had satellites that were spying on China and seeing what they were up to and what North Korea is up to. There are spy tools. There are things that are surveil what's going on. And I want to tell you that God surveils every household. He surveils every life. The Bible said light and darkness are the same to God. You can't get in the dark and God can't see you. God has infrared vision. He can see everything, even in the dark. Not only that, even if you're not talking, God can hear your thoughts. He know my downsetting and he knows my uprising and he know my thoughts afar off. God know what you're thinking before you even thinking. God know what you're going to do even before you do it. God know where you're going to go even before you go there. And he knows how to weigh your heart, your intentions about what you're going to do. I always put the Lord before me. That's why the Bible said acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Before you go make a decision, before you go do something crazy, acknowledge the Lord. See what the Lord say. See what he would tell you to do. See, wisdom is a preventative measure. The Bible said fools despise wisdom because they're full of their own way. They feel like this is the way I need to do it. But there's no wisdom in foolishness. Let me say it again. There is no wisdom in foolishness. Amen? God wants us to walk in wisdom. And wisdom is known of her children. If you're a child of God, you ought to have wisdom. And the Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, and he will give you wisdom. He will let you know why you're going through what you're going through. People say, well, I don't know if God really cares about my situation. If he's at every sparrow's funeral, he cares about you. You're more important to God than sparrows. He's concerned about everything about you. You want to know how much God cares about you? He has numbered all the hairs on your head. And Brother Yendall, even the hairs that you and me are missing, he know where they at. God bless you. Amen. And I'm just telling you that God, he numbers all of our hair. Not only has he counted all the hairs of our head, but he has all of them numbered. Amen. He not only numbered our hair, he numbered our days. God already know when you're going to leave here. It's already been measured out, meted out. Amen. That's why diabetes, heart attack, all that can't take you out until it's your time. I don't care how much sickness, how much disease, how much, amen, the doctor give up on you. If God say you got 30 more years, guess what? You're going to have 30 more years. Amen. And listen, if I have a sickness and if I have a disease and my time ain't up, guess what? Diabetes gonna serve the Lord. High blood pressure gonna serve the Lord. Sickness gonna serve the Lord. Trouble gonna serve the Lord. Situations gonna serve the Lord, because I'm not getting out of here until the time has come. Amen. Understand that God has a purpose for your life. That purpose was already designed before you got here. The Bible says, which he purposed with himself before the foundation, in himself before the foundation of the world. That purpose was already done. There's nothing I can do, you can do, that can change the purpose of God in your life. The only reason why it doesn't manifest is because we refuse to line up with what he has spoken over our life. I spend all my days lining up. Somebody should have been clapping with me. God bless all two of y'all. Amen. I spend all my time lining up with the will of God, because God only is going to honor his will in your life. He's not going to honor what you want. He ain't going to honor what you want to do. He's not going to honor what you think you ought to be. He's only going to honor his will in your life. And if you are expecting God to do something, it has to be an expectation that comes from him. The Bible said, my expectation is from thee. And so when God puts something in your life and in your purpose, that's the purpose and the will that he has for your life. Listen, Joseph, when he was going through what he was going through, he didn't ever try to escape the pit. He didn't try to escape Potiphar's house. He didn't try to escape the prison, but he stayed in his place until he was put in the palace. That's why the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You don't have to worry about where you're going, because the Bible said your goings is of the Lord. The Lord is the one that can take you in and take you out. The Lord is the one that directs your step. It's not in you to direct your own way, but he is directing your way that you should go. Amen. So y'all gonna be a hard crowd today. God bless you. Amen. Hear me. Understand, when you put God before you, he's going to lead and guide you in all truth. When you put God before you, things are going to change. When you put God before you, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. When you put God before you, all these things will be added to you. When you, Lord have mercy, when you put God before you, there's going to be a download of your purpose in your life. When God decides what he's going to do that he did from the beginning of the world, he just need you to get in a place where he can download his purpose in your life. Listen, people say, well, how did you become a preacher? Did you ask God to be a preacher? Did you do this? Did you do that? No. I look for a sign. I look for a vision. I look for a word. I look for something on the wall. I look for a dream. I look for this. I look for that. Amen. And I didn't get none of that. You know how some people say, the Lord just came and told me you are a preacher. You're a man of God. You're going to preach my word. I ain't getting none of that. And I tried. Man, y'all have been on a radio station that don't have a good tuner. I was like, trying to get tuned in to hear, to see if God wanted me to preach. Amen. People was telling me how they had a vision of the night, and they saw themselves before thousands of people, and they saw themselves in the Astrodome. They saw themselves preaching at the Oasis of Love, and they saw themselves preaching at the Oasis of Love. They saw themselves preaching at the Potter's house. I'm going like, okay. How I'm going to get in there? But hear me. What happened? My steps were being ordered. You know, Andre Crouch said, you don't have to jump no pew, run down no aisle, no chills run down your spine, but you know that you've been born again. Well, anyway, I'm looking for chills. I'm looking for thrills. I'm looking for something to let me know. But because I always set the Lord before my face, my steps kept being ordered by the Lord. The next thing you know, I was over the young people. The next thing you know, I was over the youth. The next thing you know, I was preaching. The next thing you know, I was teaching. The next thing you know, I was pastoring. The next thing you know, I'm an overseer. Now I'm a bishop. Now, listen, all of that didn't happen because I pursued. It happened because I was after God. People say, how you feel being a bishop? Like Eddie. How you feel being a pastor? Like Eddie. How you feel being a preacher? Like Eddie. Because I'm not impressed with myself. Eddie is who God knows. God don't know nothing about no Bishop Ferguson. Don't know nothing about no Pastor Ferguson. What he knows is Eddie. When he calls me, he ain't gonna say, Bishop Ferguson. Oh, Bishop Ferguson. He gonna say, Eddie, my son. So wait a minute, I'm saying, wait a minute, Lord, now, this is Bishop Ferguson. Now, you got to be careful with that. I'm going to tell God that, right? Listen, I'm saying to you all that when God has something in store for you, all you have to do is set him before your face and it will happen. To young people, if you're feeling something burning in your heart, just keep pursuing what's burning in your heart. Don't worry about title. Don't worry about position. Don't worry about who's going to look at you and who's going to favor you. God has already favored you because he chose you from the foundation of the world. Listen, I'm used to sitting in the back. I'm used to sitting on the side. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you that if God got something for you, can't nobody take it away from you. If God got something for you, you ain't got to worry about getting no cards. You ain't got to worry about having no collar around your neck. You ain't got to worry about no family Bible, no big cross around you. Listen, all you got to do is do you, be you, and God will raise you up and people will see the glory of the Lord upon your life. I foresaw the Lord always before me, and he is at my right hand that I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Listen, this is no time, amen, not to have God before you. Put God before you and you'll see things begin to manifest in your life. And I'm getting ready to close. God bless you. I'm talking about the new year. Go in this new year with God before you. Go in this new year chasing after him. Go in this new year recognizing that God has a purpose in your life. Knowing that God has chosen you for this time. Tell somebody, say, you can't beat me being me. Tell them. There's a lot of folk want to be you. They can't be you. You know what I mean? Guess what? I love LeBron. That's my boy. But I can't be LeBron. I love Jordan. But I can't be Jordan. Amen. Quiet as a kept. I love Michael Jackson. God bless y'all. Amen. I love Mike. Back when I was coming up, you know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, baby. I love Michael Jackson. Boy, the Jackson, the Osmond, they gave me some material. Amen. Now, see, some of y'all can't even laugh. Y'all too deep. Oh, I can't believe Bishop said he liked Michael Jackson. Y'all that old stuff he be doing and moving around. I didn't say I like that. I said I like Michael Jackson. Amen. Now, what's the whole deal about all that? The thing is, I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm not him. Michael Jackson had a purpose. James Brown had a purpose. Everybody have a purpose, but it's how you use that purpose that determine what your destiny gonna be. Amen. And so I'm saying to all of us, use your purpose so you can reach your destiny. Amen. We look at all these people that's successful and we think we all want to be rich, but remember the price they had to pay to be them. One of the greatest singers, I felt like when she died, I thought part of my family died. Y'all know who I'm been talking about. Whitney Houston. when Whitney died, man, I was at Papa's and something like went through my heart. I ain't never felt like that by no singer. But Whitney Houston was like family. It took me a while to get over that. Because she was like family. Now, come on now, y'all be honest. You know Whitney was like family. I mean, this girl singing like an angel and all of that. But her life just spiraled out of control. You know, you just, she felt like family because we have a lot of that in our families. Here she's so successful, but yet needing God. And then to see her daughter end up in the same tragic situation. And you ask yourself, was there nothing that could help her? Was there anything that could have delivered them? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's, if it was somebody you want to bring back, you know, you want to bring Whitney back. You know, if you could bring her back, you know, because she felt like family. Now, why am I saying all this? Because I'm saying life is real. All of that they project you with TV and singing and dancing, all of that is Hollywood. All of that is fake. That's fantasy. Real life is how you live every day. It's what you wake up with every day. What you got to deal with every day. And when I saw her restroom and all of the paraphernalia and the stuff that was burnt up and in her restroom, just showing you the drug use and all of that, it broke my heart to see all of that. And what I'm saying to every one of us here today is that if you keep God before you, that doesn't have to be your tragic end. Keep him before you. Keep him walking with you. Keep him talking with you. Even young people need to learn to keep God before you. I see these young folk walking around with phones, doing this all day long. They got this before them, but they don't have him before them. Even grown-ups got this before them, but God ain't before them. You know, I have to train myself not to make this my idol, my God. Amen? Now, I go on here and look at the news, but a lot of times I'm looking words up and looking up different thing, but sometimes I put this down and go get a dictionary. I go get the Bible. I read the Bible on here, but I said, wait a minute. I don't want to get so caught up that the world, you know what? You could keep looking at this and the mark of the beast might show up. The devil might show up on this thing. When mother, when you told me that, what you showed me on the internet, that if you take this drug, get ready to deal with the devil. I believe that some of the stuff that we're watching, we're going to have to deal with the devil. Because what you're doing, remember, it's a medium, media. You're opening up yourself to a medium to come in your life. So you got to be careful about what you're looking at. Where you know, back in the day, they used to say surfing. But now it's streaming. You got to look at what you're streaming on your phone and be careful what you're looking at, because the devil is trying to make his way into the world. The Bible said the devil has come down among us having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. Amen. Now, listen, believe me, I came in here with mine. We're going to shout today. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to run and we're going to celebrate. But the Lord spoke to me and said, tell my people, keep me before your face. If you can keep this before you all day long and that before you all day long, then who should you keep first and foremost? Take the name of Jesus with you. Everywhere you go, we need to keep him before us. Amen. When I heard the testimony of Minister Farrelly. I remember that morning when it happened, and I seen the pictures of the truck. When I say it looked like an accordion where the little baby would have been, she would have definitely gone on to be with the Lord. If her angel would not have saved her had she been back there, she definitely would have been gone. But I'm showing you, God is in everything that you're interested in. You think God ain't in it? He's in everything that you're interested in. He's in your family. He cares about your family. You can't be with your family 24/7. You can't watch your kids 24 hours a day. Do you realize how many demons and devils and predators and sexual offenders that God has kept your family away from? Don't you know it's folks riding around in cars? It's folks sitting around in avenues waiting for kids to molest them? And God is magnifying your kids in the eyes of those people. They see somebody with them. It's called angels. Don't think that God is not protecting what belongs to us. And don't think that the devil wouldn't love to come by our house and steal something. Listen, we got this doorbell ringer that see folks and all of that. That's good for the world. But we got God watching over us all night.